Here's a quick sample of what you'll hear on this week's edition of CSPN Presents Know the Score.
He's either going to have to take a step back and fight Maidana again, either Danny Garcia or Amir Khan. He has to fight someone in that tier. He has to reprove himself. If he doesn't
do that. That's a good point.
You guys put so much faith in Adrian Broner.
He's going
Listen,
to lose.
Man, he can figure out Floyd Mayweather all he wants.
No,
he cannot transfer that skill by osmosis, man. Adrian Broner at this point, you know,
is Derek Fisher of boxing.
Adrian Broner is a B-side to cable and Spike TV main events.
You can find new episodes of CSPN Presents Know the Score on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, TuneIn, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. Look for Cold Slither Podcast Network to subscribe or check out our website at cspn.us. New episodes every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Check us out. CSPN Presents Know the Score.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Conflict Chronicles Treasury Edition.
Yeah! We are back!
I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yeah!
And tonight I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
And even though we brought you another episode of Comic Chronicles last night, we decided to come back one more time to do a very special episode of the Treasury Edition to cover the 45 all-new number ones that Marvel released in their preview magazine on Wednesday.
And while we gave our top three most anticipated and the least three anticipated, we wanted to go over the other, you know, 40 some odd or 30 some odd releases, because there's just so much to sink our teeth into.
And just to quickly get the housekeeping out the way, make sure to go to the website theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of Comic Chronicles Treasury Edition and much more. Follow the Twitter account at cbcron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation and join the The Click Nation community. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/theclicknation. Make sure to give us 5-star reviews. Give us the thumbs up. We share the episodes. Help us move up the different podcasting rankings.
That's right. We need those downloads.
Yes, we do. We are part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. Go to their website, cspn.us. We record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for Comic Chronicles, at least.
That's right. You never know when a Treasury Edition will drop on you.
And use the hashtag Comic Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media websites. I actually bought a t-shirt today that just has a hashtag on it.
Nice.
Part of my July 4th shopping.
Nice.
I should have worn it tonight. happy July 4th to everyone tomorrow.
That's right.
Enjoy your barbecues, your grilling, your fireworks.
Exactly. Happy birthday, America.
So what we decided to do is we're just going to go through the physical copy of the preview magazine and just go title by title, give you the title of the book, the creative teams listed for it, and our thoughts and
comments.
Comments,
even questions that we might still have about what's going on.
So I guess we can, instead of just me saying each one, we can just take turns going back and forth.
Sure, absolutely. All right, take the lead. You are up first.
Up first, we have the flagship of all new, all different Marvel, Invincible Iron Man number one.
Right. Writing this book is Brian Michael Bendis, and on art, his collaborator from Ultimate Spider-Man, David Marquez. Read what the tagline is on this, Tim.
It's a one-word tagline that just says upgrade.
And you know, when you turn the pages of this preview magazine, you get to some concept art and some preview interior art, and it's interesting what it chooses to show. One of the things that that's evident in the concept art is they really sought to streamline the look of Iron Man. You know, in this new book, the concept art really, really shows a really slender looking Iron Man, and it's kind of it makes it look far more like, oh, is it the animated series where there was like a kid Iron Man or a younger Iron Man? Do you remember that? Wasn't there?
It was called Iron Man Armored Adventures, I believe.
Yes, isn't this reminiscent of that?
Most definitely. And I watched a couple of episodes of that series. It was fine. It was on Disney XD, I believe.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, you know, we all know that Iron Man, they're pushing Iron Man now as the flagship character, not necessarily pushing Spider-Man aside, but because of the exposure that Iron Man has gained from being, I guess, the de facto lead hero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're really trying to capitalize on that now. I think it's a little bit too late, to be perfectly honest. But especially with
looking like he's perhaps on his way out of the cinematic universe as far as Robert Downey Jr. playing him.
Right. It almost seems like it's about time. Although at the same time, I think Iron Man definitely played a lead role. If you remember back in, we're talking like Civil War, and we're talking which we call it, the Initiative, the Register, all that stuff. You know, Iron Man was definitely lead, front and center in the Marvel Universe for a long time. But I think that now they're really pushing him as their, one of their, like, 1A characters.
And I hope that Dave Marquez can stay on as the artist for as long as possible.
Agreed. But he's definitely got a good track record of longevity on these books.
Yes. Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man, the entire run.
Exactly. He's got a good track record. I know he's very dedicated to his craft. When I did speak to him, he was very, very enthusiastic about working on Miles. And now seeing this, him having pretty much the flagship title for all new, all different, I'm pretty sure that he's going to take this ball and run with it for a long, long time.
All right, let's move on to the next title.
The next title is A-Force number 1, spinning straight out of the events of Secret Wars. The book is written by G. Willow Wilson, the writer of Ms. Marvel, and has cover art by Victor Ibanez. It does not indicate who's going to be doing the interior art. There may be a rotating cast of artists. And the tagline for A-Force number 1 is, "A force to be reckoned with, ha 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 ha."
I did see, I want to say in an interview or two on Wednesday or after the magazine came out, that I believe Jorge Molina is still going to be at least the starting artist on it.
Okay.
So same guy from the Secret Wars tie-in.
Right, he just rolls right into it.
Yeah, so this basically is the successor of that Secret Wars title, except they'll be all in the main Marvel Universe, and at least I'd assume there'd be like rotating cast, but maybe they will just stick with the core. What is it? 1, 2, 6.
Yeah, there's a core 6 here. Basically,
hold on, my phone is ringing. Let me go check and see who that is.
I will go into A-Force number 1 in detail. So basically what we have here is She-Hulk playing the lead character, and the rest of the team consists of Medusa, Captain Marvel, Nico Minoru from The Runaways, and Dazzler, who's definitely gone some sort of retro punk. It's progressed past what's been portrayed by Chris Anka in Uncanny X-Men. But, the final character is the mystery teleporting spatial character that was introduced in the Secret Wars A-Force issues. It's reminiscent of Captain Universe, but we'll find out who that is in upcoming issues of A-Force. It's nice to see that Marvel is putting together an all-female team for Avengers, and not just X-Men. I think that the all-female X-Men book was fairly well-received, so I think that putting an all-female team together of some of the other characters in the Marvel Universe, I think is going to be a good way to go. I think this is going to definitely definitely be received by readers who are enthusiastic about something like the female Thor. You know, I can, you know, sales numbers back up the fact that the female Thor is definitely selling well. And I think that Marvel's doing itself a good favor by introducing this, where's the cough button? By introducing the A-Force as an all-female Marvel team. So while Tim is away, I'm going to move on and talk about the all-new, all-different Avengers number one, the roster of this team. The roster of the creative team, that is Mark Waid as the writer, Adam Kubert on art, and Mahmoud Asrar on art. I guess they're the rotating team of pencilers. And this is going to be guaranteed to be one of the prettier books on the stand because Alex Ross has been enlisted as a cover artist for this series. So the this, I think, is going to be the flagship Avengers book. Just based on the creative team and based on the roster of heroes and what we've seen so far from the Free Comic Book Day book that featured this same team. And this team consists of Iron Man, Captain America, Falcap, Sam Wilson, the new female Thor, Vision, Ms. Marvel, Miles Morales Spider-Man, and the new Nova. So this is going to be, I guess, the flagship book of the Avengers, and we'll find out what they're going to be, you know, dealing with, you know, going forward. But it's kind of cool that this is incorporating one or two. They're actually incorporating three of the teen heroes that are front and center in all new, all different Marvel. And it's going to be interesting to see how this group of fairly seasoned heroes, Chick Thor or female Thor aside, are going to deal with these three teenage heroes. So that's pretty interesting. I'd like to hear what Tim has to say about that.
We know the first villain they'll be taking on is Warbringer, who was in the final couple issues of Nova.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thanks for reminding me.
And Iron Man won't be fronting the Avengers, so they'll be the avenging on a budget.
Mm, that's right.
And I think that's all we really know so far.
Avenging on a budget.
As the tagline says, Earth's most dedicated heroes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the tagline. And what's funny is that Earth's mightiest is actually struck out and most dedicated is written in its place.
Yeah. And you went over to the creative team, right?
I did. I was just saying that it was going to be one of the prettier Marvel books on the stands because Alex Ross is going to be doing covers.
And all his covers are awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So I hope everything's all right. And if you're up to taking Uncanny Avengers.
I am. Let's see here. So Uncanny Avengers, number one from Jerry Duggan and Ryan Stegman.
Shout out to Ryan Stegman.
Tagline. Yeah. Even though Deadpool's arms look kind of weird on this cover here. Fighting for humanity, inhumanity, mutants, and Deadpool.
I wonder if this book is not going to have, given that it's Jerry Duggan, there's going to be quite a bit of humor in this book. And Deadpool is involved, so I think that's almost a given.
I wonder, you know, of course that's the Human Torch on there, but part of me was wondering, is that the Human Torch from All New Invaders?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
But I guess he would cover the inhuman portion of the team since he's in Uncanny Inhumans, as we'll find out later.
Right.
And we don't know who the mysterious woman is.
Oh, you mean the
ninja looking.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the exact same thing. We don't know who that is. It's kind of interesting. And the costume, the color scheme is kind of reminiscent of Smasher, but she looks too much like a ninja.
Oh, yeah. I like Smasher. I wonder what will happen to her now.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm hoping that they don't throw away that character. I liked her as a good as a character.
And we thought with Sam Wilson taking over as Captain America that Steve Rogers would kind of fade away, or at least play like a supporting role in Captain America and maybe the Marvel Universe altogether. But He's kind of front and center here.
I love how we still haven't seen how Steve Rogers went from super frail old man to really buff old man. You know, when did, you know, like there was just like this weird, like 8 months later thing in Avengers, remember? Or 6 months later, whatever it was. And all of a sudden he's hunting down the Illuminati with the group of Avengers, right? and he's all, right, you know, back into fighting trim. So we're just left to wonder, how did we get to this part? And I don't think they've explained it up till now.
Yeah. And if they will
ever
explain it at all.
That's so disappointing. That's so, so disappointing. All right. Anything else to say about this book before we move on?
I think that covers it.
All right. So I will take probably the one of the lesser well just not very well received book amongst the co-hosts of the Comic Book Chronicles. It's New Avengers number one, written by Al Ewing with art by Gerardo Sandoval. And I love the creative team, but where I think most of us got lost is the roster of characters that he's been given to work that they've been given to work with. We have a new Avengers team with a tagline, Avengers Idea Mechanics. We aim to help. And this is definitely a playoff of events in New Avengers and Avengers leading up to Secret Wars, where Roberto Da Costa, a.k.a. Sunspot, who is front and center in this team, buys Advanced Idea Mechanics. And it makes sense that he would rename it and make it Avenger-centric. But where I'm lost, and where I think a lot of people got lost, is the supporting cast that's here that does not include Cannonball, does not include Smasher, which I would have loved. You know, what we have instead are Songbird, Hawkeye, Hulkling, Wiccan, who looks jacked beyond all belief, and is that Squirrel Girl? Who's that?
That's what I've heard. So.
See, I'm not having that. That's you know, they lost me with that. I'm very disappointed, because I would have loved to see, you know, Sunspot and Cannonball graduate and lead their own team of Avengers. That would be pretty awesome. I mean, they were doing that in New Avengers and Avengers in the lead up to Secret War. You know, they were. They had basically organized a counter group of Avengers to help, you know, kind of bring the two opposing factions together between Steve Rogers and the Illuminati group.
With Roberto leading the team, one can hope that we'll get the supporting cast roles for Cannonball and Smasher,
right,
and their baby.
That's true. Maybe that's why they were, I guess, written to the side for now.
You have to hope and pray that they'll show back up, because as a fan of the New Mutants and X-Force back in the original X-Force, mm-hmm, I like me some Cannonball and Sunspot.
Sure. Same here. All right. Well, you get to get one of the cool ones that I'm definitely looking forward to.
It definitely had the internet a-buzzing, and that would be Ultimates number one from Al Ewing and Kenneth Rockford, with the tagline, Ultimate Problems Need Ultimate Solutions.
Righto.
So, no, Galactus is not a member of the team. He's going to be, I believe, the opening arc villain.
You know, psych, right?
In today's Axel in Charge on CBR, Axel Alonso brought up the Ultimate title and said that it would, you know, it would knock people's socks off. And basically they're dealing with, he basically referenced the tagline saying how, you know, how big the problems that this team will be encountering. And basically how they don't take any junk.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love the lineup. I love, absolutely love the lineup on this. It's Black Panther, Monica Rambeau, a.k.a. Spectrum, the Blue Marvel, America, what do they call her?
America Chavez, Miss America. America Chavez.
Yeah, Miss America Chavez, and Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. That's pretty, pretty cool. That's just a great, great collection of characters that they can, you know, do various things with.
My question is, who's the leader on this team?
T'Challa. You
got Black Panther. And
I think it's T'Challa.
Yeah, Captain Marvel could lead, Spectrum could lead.
I would say T'Challa, but I think the second choice is going to be Monica Rambeau, Spectrum. I think they're going to try to give her a higher profile, considering that, you know, Carol Danvers already has her own book.
Right.
So that's my guess.
She did a lot of the field leading in the Mighty Avengers, both volumes.
Right. So that's where I'm thinking it'll go. I love the image by Rockefort. I'm glad that he's got a mainstream Marvel book to do work on, because he was doing Superman for a long time.
And he's currently doing Teen Titans, even though that might be coming to an end, I'd assume.
Right. So definitely happy to see Rockefort doing some big-time Marvel work. All right. So, I get a good one this time. Next on our list is Doctor Strange number one, with a creative team of Jason Aaron on scripts and Chris Boccolo on art. with a tagline that reads, "Some surgery requires a scalpel, some an axe." And yes, that is a clear reference to the image that's included in the preview book of Doctor Strange wielding an axe.
Yeah. No,
not something you'd ever thought you would see. Anyone who's been reading Doctor Strange for a long time, you know, will just, you know, look at that and be very surprised. And at the very least, I think that's going to be enough to at least get some people to just open this and see what it's all about. I trust Jason Aaron. I love the fact that one of Marvel's real key writers, who I think is definitely taking over as one of the real architects of the Marvel Universe, you know, with the departure of Hickman and Remender, and who am I leaving out?
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
And Kelly Sue DeConnick. I think Jason Aaron is definitely taking up, stepping into a leadership role in these creative retreats and sculpting the Marvel Universe as we know it. And I'm glad that he is taking the reins on Doctor Strange. What do you think about this?
You basically covered everything. We knew it was only a matter of time before Doctor Strange would begin his own solo book with the movie coming up. Is it next year, I believe?
Is it next year? I mean, I know that they've already announced.
Yeah, it's November of next year.
That is
I have to be looking at a schedule. So yeah, next fall. And he's been highlighted in Jonathan Hickman's New Avengers lineup. So, hey, what happened to my picture? Get back on. Where'd it go? But yeah, so, and as someone who's not a fan of the different magical elements, you could say, I am very much interested in seeing what Aaron does with Doctor Strange. Because I know in the interviews, he brought up how they want to make it where every action has a consequence if you're mm-hmm. delving with mystical elements.
Interesting. I mean, I remember that being an aspect of Doctor Strange in the past, but I don't think any of his more recent series have stayed on the stands long enough to really explore that. But I'm glad to see that. And look, would it kill them to have like a wizarding school at some point in this book? You know,
well, they did say that he's gonna, I guess he'll have like a support group of magicians, like mm-hmm. that he'll hang out with and get a beer with or whatever. And some of them will be like villains.
Gotcha.
They'll just be like getting together to trade, not secrets, but say like, you know, what each person is dealing with mm-hmm. to keep everyone abreast of what's going on in the world.
Right. But like I said, you know, would it kill them to have a magical school?
Probably not, since it looks like DC is probably doing that with the Mystic U book whenever that comes out.
Oh, I didn't. When did they announce that?
It was announced back when they announced all the stuff coming out after Convergence.
Oh, okay.
It was on the, I don't think it had a creative team listed at the time. And then I think they've announced who the creative team is, but it's no one I recognize.
Gotcha.
It's been like that and the Dark Universe book have been like pushed back. Dark Universe pushed back because one of the writers, James Tynion, left the project. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different Treasury edition on DCU.
Oh, no. That's right. All right. So you're up next.
I'm up next, right?
Yep.
All right. Next up, we have Captain Marvel number one from the Agent Carter showrunners, Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas mm-hmm. As writers, and Chris Anka on art. And the tagline reads, "Captain Marvel Rises." And we have a slightly redesigned Captain Marvel suit and haircut. Mm-hmm. More streamlined, if anything.
I noticed that
her hair had been, depending on who drew her and in what comics she appeared in, her hair could look different.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one of my favorite, and we did see it when I was showing Doctor Strange and his axe. This is one of my favorite all-new, all-different Marvel images. Absolutely.
Anka knows how to do covers.
You know, this is one of my favorite. When I saw this, I was just awestruck. Definitely awestruck. You know, this is something that is pretty enough to just make you want to pick it up off the stands just on the cover alone. And I give him a lot of credit.
I'm not I was never the biggest Captain Marvel fan beforehand. I mean, I like the character. I could just never get into her solo book before. Mm-hmm. But of course, with the new number one coming out, I'll at least give it the first couple issues a try and see if it makes me stick around. We know that she will be sort of like the planetary, what's the word I'm looking for? Support. or enforcer for the planet Earth.
Okay.
Taking the place of Sword.
Oh, I did not know that. Interesting.
Yeah, Sword isn't around anymore in the post Secret Wars universe, aka the all new, all different Marvel universe.
Right.
So, and then with the ships in the background with the Avengers logo on them, I wonder if, like, basically where it's like she is Sword and she has, like, grunts that fly, you know, helicarrier type ships around to get blown up by the bad guy of the week or month.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. But interesting.
That's
interesting.
That's all I've got for Captain Marvel. It'll be interesting to see how the first time comic book writers fare.
I mean, it's not all that different from being, you know, from working on a TV show. But yeah, I guess that bears some watching.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Something major, just something to look, you know, to look out for.
Sure. All right. Now, I'm an unabashed Captain America fan. And the next book that we're going to be discussing is titled Sam Wilson, Captain America Number 1, written by Nick Spencer with art by Daniel Acuna. The tagline for this book is, "Who do you stand with?" Now, you wouldn't know that it was a Captain America book just based off the tagline. It's not as you know, it's not as punny as some of the other ones, like a force to be reckoned with, right? But the image that is in this all-new previews book is an image of Steve Rogers as Captain America and Sam Wilson as the Falcon being torn apart and their current incarnations walking away from each other as if they're having a disagreement. So that's meant to show that there is some sort of rift between the two going into all-new, all-different. And, you know, I guess what – if you're really interested in finding out, you want to pick up this first issue.
Yep. So
– you know, it's – like I said – I'm still not 100% sold on how they're working Sam Wilson into the Captain America role, especially with Steve Rogers still running around, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, it's I'm kind of torn, literally looking at this cover and torn about how to feel about this book. So, we'll see. I'll definitely read the first few issues to see what direction Spencer's going in.
Definitely wasn't a smooth transition from Sam Wilson to. From Steve Rogers to Sam Wilson, like Thor was,
right?
Even though I'm sure Remender probably had been seeding it and had some, it was something he had planned for a while, for the first year, or maybe even when he first took over Captain America. But it definitely feels like you could feel that Jason Aaron had been setting this up for spoiler alert, Jane Foster.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah, but I have faith in Nick Spencer. I've been enjoying his Ant-Man. His Superior Foes to Spider-Man was well-received as well. So
I was about to say, I forgot that he did Superior Foes. I like that, and I do like Ant-Man. So, you know, based off of those two books, I think there's obviously going to be a different tone in this book as opposed to those two. But, you know, I'd be willing to give Spencer a try and see how he fares on this title.
Yes.
Oh, you get some fun now.
So... we have The Totally Awesome Hulk, number 1.
I clap because it's totally awesome.
From Greg Pak and Frank Cho, with the simple tagline, "Who is the Hulk?"
Right, and the image that we get is an image of a Hulk-like being, but the face is obscured and blacked out, and the left forearm and hand are obscured, so we're left trying to figure out who the new Hulk could be.
And there's plenty of speculation online from people.
Sure. And if you tuned into the most recent episode of Combo Chronicles, we've already given our guesses. I happen to think it's, spoiler alert, I think it's Amadeus Cho.
But I'm sure maybe we'll find out next week at New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con.
San Diego, yeah. I can't believe San Diego is right around the corner. It's literally this coming week.
Yes. Need to prepare for the website.
Absolutely. So the next book that we have in our preview book is one of the unaltered books. It's sort of, you know, it's continuing with a new number one. This is The Mighty Thor number one, written by Jason Aaron with art by Russell Dowderman. So the tagline here is, "The flesh may be weak, but the thunder is strong." And that obviously, spoiler alert, that obviously is a reference to Jane Foster's current physical condition and how that's going to play into her, you know, heroic acts as the new Thor, and how how that will lend itself to different stories being told you know, within the pages of Thor. There's no reference to Odin's son. There's no reference to any of the other supporting characters. But we're likely to see a lot of those characters continue on in this book. I love the fact that there are some books that are remaining consistent with their creative teams, and I'm glad that this is one of them.
Indeed. Definitely looking forward to this picking back up.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I can say about it.
Yep, definitely, definitely, definitely. All right.
So, switch covers. There we go. Come through. Come through.
Yep, you're in.
Cool. Scarlet Witch, number one, from creative team of James Robinson. And at least for cover art, we have Kevin Wada. Tagline, seeing red. So with her profile being risen as a star in the Avengers Age of Ultron film, it made sense that she would get her own, or probably first solo book.
Mm-hmm.
She may have had a mini series before that I'm not aware of, but she's striking out on her own. Even though she got a new costume design in the second volume of Uncanny Avengers, we see yet another redesign for her.
Yeah, it definitely stresses and some of the gypsy, the gypsy background with the head, with the head stuff.
Every time you see a solo a character get a solo book who's mostly been known for being a team player, it's always curious to see what direction they'll take the character.
Absolutely. You
know, what kind of threats will they be involved in, and who the supporting cast will be.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Things I look forward to seeing. And I guess unless things change, I don't think, at least as of right now, she's not involved in a team book because she wasn't on the Uncanny Avengers cover.
A-Force.
Oh, that's right. Was she on there?
She's right. In that. Well, A-Force has. She's not.
It's not featured, but
exactly, exactly. She's in the exactly. She's in the montage of female heroes.
Gotcha.
So, all righty. Well, you know, this isn't one of the books that I'm really looking forward to.
You said it is or isn't?
It's not. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, I'll.
I mean, we'll read it for academic purposes, you know? That's what we do. We review books, but I don't know if
I'm going to keep up with it. It'll depend how much I read it. It'll depend also who the artist is they choose for it.
Right, 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 right. All righty. So, next up. Oh, I've got another book that's returning its creative team. We've got Ms. Marvel number one, with written by G. Willow Wilson, with art by Takeshi Miyazawa and Adrian Alfona. They were the artists that were doing rotating art duties on this book before Secret Wars. And Takeshi Miyazawa is doing the cover art. And it's pretty cool to see that the creative team is coming back on the book. It's going to follow Kamala Khan's adventures as a newly minted Avenger. That's what is implied by the cover. But
the tagline.
Oh, I was about to say. I was going to get to the tagline because it seems like she's made it. The tagline says "crushed it." Hmm. So it seems like Kamala has had many of her wishes come true, and we'll see how that plays out. I'm very, very glad that G. Willow Wilson is still on this book. She makes this book go.
It reminds me of the Bat Boy song, you know, "More Money, More Problems."
Oh, yes.
If that's in her future,
yeah.
She got what she asked for, but will she like the results of it?
Exactly, exactly. That's a good parallel. That's a good reference. You know, cool. All right, well, this is an interesting book that we're up to.
Yeah, let me switch covers here, and am I go? Does it have it up there?
Yep, you're up.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So after reading Red Skull number one, even looking more forward to Illuminati number one from Josh Williamson, Sean Crystal, and covers by Riley Rosmo. So I've been a fan of Josh Williamson's image work from Ghosted to Birthright and Nailbiter.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Crystal, I think he was the artist on the Arkham Manor book. And he's done a couple other things, I think, for Marvel as well.
All right.
And Riley Rosmo is the current artist on Constantine the Hellblazer.
Oh, okay.
So it looks, at least as of right now, we know it features at least an evil version of the Illuminati with Red Hood featured, who we haven't seen since Bendis left. Mm-hmm. Actually, we did see him in the what was that Jason Aaron series event? Original Sin.
Yes.
I think he was like Original Sins. He was in the little 4 or 5 issue miniseries.
Okay, I didn't read that.
Yeah, he got into it with the couple members of the Young Avengers, Hulkling and
Wiccan.
No, the Wiccan. I don't even think Wiccan was. He might have been in that. It might have been those two and who's the black mutant that joined Young Avengers in Kieron Gillen's run? The guy that like was smart.
I can't remember his name.
Prodigy.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, he got into it with them. It sort of seemed like he was trying to not say reform, but try to do a good deed. But the tagline for Illuminati number one reads "Forever Evil."
Yes.
So.
Was that a dig at DC? What?
Doing it better today, could.
There you go.
And as far as Illuminati goes, I think it's more, can't really speak too much on it until we see who the other members of the team are.
Yeah, I mean, they're shown in silhouette at the bottom here. It definitely looks like Absorbing Man is involved. And if Absorbing Man is involved, can Titania be far behind? But some of the other characters are very hard to make out. You know, there's not much of a hint here. So it'll be interesting to see who is involved in this book.
It's funny that the Marvel sent out for the next book coming up, which I guess you're reading. But Marvel in the preview magazine, the comics call it one thing, and then the preview that they sent out to the press sites has a different name for the book.
Really? Well, the name of the book that we're referring to is Hawkeye Number One, written by Jeff Lemire with art by Ramon Perez, and the tagline is Hawkeye versus Hawkeye. Now, anyone who tuned into or has listened to the most recent episode of Comic Book Chronicles will know I am not a fan of where this book is supposed to be going because it involves, spoiler alert, it involves a version of Clint Barton that I don't necessarily care to see. So, you know, that's really what we're dealing with here. The tagline basically says it all. The image that we were given contains Clint Barton from a different era in the future and Kate Bishop. So what was the name or the title that you're referring to, Tim?
Yeah, for those that can see my avatar picture now, it says All New Hawkeye Number One.
Oh.
I just noticed that. So I have no idea which one is correct. So
well you would think that the one that made it to print is the one that's correct, but you never know.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with, but yeah.
Interesting. That's
what it's worth.
Sure, sure. What do you think about this? I'm not a fan of this, but I know that you and Dirt and Roddy, I think we're giving this a shot because Jeff Lemire has a good track record.
Yeah, I'll read anything of Lemire's nowadays, except I haven't read any of his Vertigo work. But I think All New Hawkeye's only had 3 issues come out, maybe 4.
4, I think.
Okay, 4. And they've been pretty good so far. But I'm kind of like in the middle. I enjoy his work, so I'll read it. I have no further like interest in it beyond that.
Gotcha.
Once we get to some of his other stuff on here, I might be more or less excited.
Gotcha. All right.
Let's see if this next one. Okay, yeah, the next one titles. Well, this is another one that has a different name.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it my go?
It is.
Okay. So in the physical preview magazine, it says Ant-Man Number One, but in the press images they sent out, it says
Astonishing
Ant-Man Number One.
Wow.
From the creative team that's staying the same, Nick Spencer, Ramon Rosanas, and mm-hmm. Mark Brooks doing covers with the tagline, Once a Criminal, ...
Right. And I think that this is going to be not the straight continuation of Spencer's storyline in Ant-Man, but you know, we have Grizzly, who was playing a role in the Ant-Man books before Secret Wars, here on the cover. And if I recall correctly, Porcupine was involved also. So I think there's definitely going to be an element of kind of fringe supervillains playing a role in this. And it's interesting to see how they're using the criminal background of Scott Lang here and in the promotions for the movie to kind of create a different, you know, to really tell his story.
I just noticed Are they shrunken? Because there's a guy's like lower torso you see in the background. What's going on with that, I wonder?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I just kind of presume that that would be like some version of Giant Man.
Yeah.
You know, like the ex-Thunderbolt.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, is it my turn? I think it is my turn.
It is. Here's another one that's slightly different.
Yes.
As far as not the book, but the again, the different naming convention.
Okay. So I guess originally what was sent out is The Vision number one, but what's in print is Vision number one, written by Tom King with art by Gabriel H. Walta and covers by Marcos Martin. The tagline for this book is a bold new vision, ha ha ha, for the Marvel Universe. And I understand that from some of the articles I've read about this book, this is supposed to involve the Vision creating a family for himself. And that's kind of, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to really delve into that as the premise for a superhero comic book. But hey, if it floats your boat.
It's curious that I believe in the second volume of Uncanny Avengers, where they were taking on the High Evolutionary, he had a wife and they had like twins or whatever. I'm assuming it's not the same family that was created in that scenario, and this is something he created himself, but it's just kind of, I was like, oh, okay, another family. Everyone wants to give the Vision an artificial intelligence family.
Right, right. Because they need, you know what it is, they want to create a supporting cast, and there definitely is a history of the Vision having a family with the Scarlet Witch, but you know those children were just magical constructs.
Yeah,
so
it came to life.
Exactly. So you know what we have is, I guess, I don't want to say the natural evolution, but just the evolution of that idea of the Vision, who you know at one point thought he was a father, and now he's creating a family for himself.
I've never cared about the Vision, not once, because I never read Avengers stuff growing up, and of course he was always just in the Avengers.
Right, I always saw him as a real good supporting character. I never, ever saw him as a strong enough character to hold his own in a book, so we'll see how far this goes.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I'll be reading it because of Tom King, I'm starting to become a fan of his work.
All right.
And he's kind of new to comics because he used to work in like in CIA type business.
Really?
He's the one of the co-writers on Grayson.
That's right.
He's kind of like spreading out, doing more stuff. And I think he's like helped co-write some stuff for Teen Titans as well after Convergence.
Interesting. Well, I mean, like I said, we're all going to be reading these number ones and probably number twos and threes, you know, just for pure academic purposes, just to see how the relaunch is going. But I don't know if I'm going to be pulling this physically.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, this is the Wordsmith, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about Skullcandy. Skullcandy makes the best headphones, earbuds, and gaming headsets, all with lifetime warranties. Skullcandy produces many types of audio accessories, including headphones, sports earbuds, Xbox and PlayStation gaming headsets, DJ headphones, and iPod and MP3 headphones. And now, for the listeners, Skullcandy offers free standard shipping on your order. To help keep our podcast free, order from Skullcandy by going to cspn.us. That's cspn.us. Then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Skullcandy banner, then shop for high-quality audio accessories with free standard shipping. So please, support us.
Next up, we have Contest of Champions number one from Al Ewan and Paco Medina with the tagline, When Heroes Gather. So this I may not pick up at all unless I read some stuff saying that it definitely ties into the main Marvel universe and has like some repercussions that will be felt, you know, reverberate through the Marvel universe for years to come. Because right now it's just a comic based off a video game, which I haven't played. could speak more to it.
Right.
More than likely. And I think I know they're creating like some new characters for this comic. A woman named Guillotine I've seen some
design. Preview art.
Yeah, preview art for. It does, on this cover here, we do see the Maestro prominently displayed, and we know that he's going to be one of the survivors of Secret Wars. So maybe this is how we first will, you know, interact with him.
Right, right. I am not enthusiastic about this at all. Sorry, Al Ewing. All right. So, I've got another returning creative team on a book.
This is actually one where I kind of wish it was different. I'll get into that later. But
sure, absolutely. Well, yeah, just real quick then. It's Amazing Spider-Man number one, written by Dan Slott, with art by Giuseppe Camuncoli and cover art by Alex Ross. The tagline for this book is, "Your friendly neighborhood just got bigger." So basically, just real quick, this is Peter Parker kind of expanding his horizons, quote unquote, kind of being a globe-trotting, jet-setting Tony Stark wannabe, you know, with Parker Industries.
So I like that they're doing different things with Peter Parker. As long as Dan Slott's been on as the writer, mm-hmm. he started with Big Time, where he got this big job at Horizon Lab.
That's why I was joking about Horizon, yeah.
And then they did Superior. Well, yeah, Superior. And then they did something I'm missing in between, because like.
Well, they did a whole bunch. I was about to say, Slott's been around for a while now. He was one of the co-writers, remember, for Brand New Day?
Yes.
So he's been on Spidey. He's been doing Spidey for a while now. And the big plot points that you just mentioned were, Spidey going big time and really becoming known for being a big brain, right? And then you get the Superior Spider-Man stuff where Otto Octavius basically wins and changes Parker's life, sometimes for the better, but more often for the worse. But now what we've got is Peter Parker kind of continuing to slowly grow up. And he's got this, jet-setting lifestyle now. It's going to be kind of different to see. They may be very well trying to differentiate this Spider-Man from another Spider-Man that we're going to be talking about in a little while.
I like the sort of, again, borrowing from Tony Stark, where Peter Parker will be hiring Spider-Man as his bodyguard while he's off.
Is that what they're talking about?
Yes.
Nice.
So that will explain why Spider-Man just happens to always be in the same countries as Peter Parker.
That's nice. That's funny. That's like a cool little twist on this. Let me tell you. Let me say this right away. There is the hint of the image of the new Spider-Mobile in this image. And if anyone has looked up some of the articles that came out when this news kind of leaked a little early. I like the designs for the new Spider-Mobile. I'm actually kind of curious to see how that's going to come into play in Spider-Man's adventure. So, it's kind of dorky. It is very much a riff on Tony Stark, and what a lot of people see Tony Stark to be or knew him to be. So it's kind of cool to see Peter Parker kind of take that and adapt it into his a writer take that and apply it to Peter Parker and adapt it in his own way.
The only thing I was going to complain about was we've seen Giuseppe Camuncoli on Spider-Man enough, I feel like, where it'd been nice to see someone else at least get the opening arc.
For art?
Yeah, for art. But I guess Giuseppe hasn't really gotten to launch any of the relaunches for Spider-Man. Mm. So I guess you can look at it as a reward for him.
Right, for being, a consistent and a consistent contributor. Now he's the lead guy.
Right.
All right. Oh, you get this fun stuff.
Yeah, this will be quick. Carnage number one from Jerry Conway, Mike Perkins, and Mike Del Mundo doing cover art. Tagline says, "Descent into Madness." Now, on the positive side, you can say, hey, one of the guys that helped shape Spider-Man in the past, Jerry Conway, is back, hopefully doing something unique with Carnage.
Sure. And Mike Perkins is no slouch on art, so they definitely have a decent creative team in place.
Yeah, it's just making us care about Carnage.
That's right. That's going to be the tough part. It's an unenviable task, I'll put it that way. Uh-oh. We done with Carnage?
Yes.
Good. Now look at what we're up to now. Spider-Woman number one with writing by Dennis Hopeless and art by Javier Rodriguez. And this is one of the more newsworthy announcements because the tagline for the new Spider-Woman series is parent by day, hero by night. And if we've neglected to talk about the setup for all new, all different Marvel, it's an eight-month time jump into the future after the end of Secret Wars. And what we have here is a very, very, very pregnant Jessica Drew. And we're going to have to find out, who did this to her. Who knocked her up, basically. So, that's going to be an interesting, I think that's going to lead to a lot of people picking this book up just to find out who the father is.
And this is one of the advantages of an 8-month time jump where you can basically jump all the way to have her having, 1 month left of pregnancy?
Right. Right. So this will be very interesting to see. I read an article. It might have been Axel Alonso in that Comic Book Resources piece that he does every week where he references the fact that Jessica Drew in her series before Secret Wars was looking to kind of settle down and kind of create a normal life for her. And it's interesting that they're basically jumping into creating a family for her and kind of taking that normal life another step.
I will mention how in the little two all new, all different preview images they released, she was not pregnant in that.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, that would have been a giveaway. You know, the one at the front of the magazine?
Front of the magazine.
On the second page, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been a giveaway.
Yeah. They could have, had Cap Shield block it. We wouldn't have known.
That's funny. That is funny.
All right. Oh, I get the nice one.
Yes.
So this is definitely one of the ones I'm looking forward to. And that is Spider-Man number one with no adjectives, no preservatives, no nothing. From Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli, the creators of Miles Morales.
Exactly. Nice to see Sarah Pacelli back on the book.
Yes. Okay. Tagline reading, welcome to the Marvel Universe, Miles Morales. Hope you survived the experience. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, fine. I'll put the drum in. It's funny. I wonder how often we're going to see Peter Parker show up in this book and vice versa.
Yeah. So basically, this will be the street level Spider-Man book. With Miles picking up where Peter left off and having to deal with all the drama in defending New York City. Mm-hmm. And another question is how much of Miles's supporting cast makes it out of Secret Wars alive?
Right. You know, it's funny.
I've got some Genki.
Exactly. Come on. You can't kill the chubby Asian dude. Come on.
Come on.
But in all seriousness, it's kind of cool to see that there is room in the Marvel Universe for multiple strong Spider-Man family-related books.
I never thought I'd see the day. I used to always keep saying with all these Spider-Man characters around, just do a team Spider-Man book and just put them all into it, which I guess they kind of did once we get near the end of the magazine, I believe.
Exactly, towards the end. But, you know, it's kind of cool to see that there really are strong Spider-Man family titles.
And this will, the next, three? Actually, we got into them with Spider-Woman.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I get another great returning title.
Let me switch gears here.
So the next book that we have is Spider-Gwen number one, written as before by Jason Latour and drawn as before by Robbie Rodriguez. The tagline for this book is The Secret History of Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker. What I love about this book is that it's so popular and so well done that they've basically left it alone. They basically left it alone post-Secret Wars. They said, hey, Gwen Stacy as Spider-Gwen, you go back to doing what you're doing. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, just keep on keeping on. We're not going to bother you. So that's pretty. You know, I'm glad to see that. I think a lot of people on the line when I was at Special Edition NYC who were online getting ready to talk to Latour and Rodriguez were all basically kind of saying, well, we think she's going to come out of Secret Wars unscathed. It kind of sucks that they have to take a break while this is happening. But ultimately, she's, you know, they didn't completely collapse her universe. You know what I mean? Even though it was only supposed to be the Ultimate Universe and the 616 universe staying alive and then being mushed together. But it was nice to see that they left Spider-Gwen and her reality unchanged.
And I will keep pointing out that if you look on the banners or the commercials on the in the background,
the billboard, yeah. Yeah,
the billboards keep saying "Stop the Spider-Women" plural.
Right.
If it was just Spider-Gwen, it would be Spider-Woman. So who right. are the women? Something to keep an eye out for, perhaps.
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. And you wonder what the image at the top, you know, what creature is that that's kind of threatening the story, you know, threatening the hero of the story?
That would be Peter Parker, who is the Lizard.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what I gathered from it. Because it's the secret history of Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker.
Nice.
He was the Lizard.
That's correct. That is correct. Ah, now that makes it. It doesn't look very lizard-like right away, but now that you mention it, especially with the hand, it's the hand that does it.
And there's more the mouth for me.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Okay. Another.
So you moved on, I was gonna say you moved on to your to the next book that you got.
Another returning creative team and character, Silk Number One, from writer Robbie Thomas, artist Stacy Lee. Oh, Robbie Thompson. Artist Stacy Lee and cover artist Helen Chin, who's been popping up over in Gotham Academy more recently.
Right.
The tagline, The Sinister Silk. And so they're teasing that she could be moving to the dark side and committing felonies, perhaps. It could be another fake out like the Ant-Man cover, where at least there we did see him with his hands behind his back, crossing his fingers.
Right. And you wonder how, you know, the main antagonist in the Silk book is the Black Cat, and you wonder how this will play into their continuing, relationship, a rivalry is a good way to put it too.
Maybe she's being blackmailed.
Possibly, quite possibly, by the Black Cat. Quite possibly. All righty. So we're still in the Spider-Man universe, Spider-Man corner of books. We're up to Spider-Man 2099, number one. Written by Peter David, with art by Will Sliney and Francesco Mattina on cover art. The tagline on this is "Smack to the future." But bum. So the preview image for Spider-Man 2099 number one shows a redesigned Spider-Man 2099 costume. I'm holding it up to the screen while Tim is still showing a great image of The Sinister Silk by Helen Chen.
But I switched over already.
That's all right. I like seeing that image by Helen Chen. But I know we're not that enthusiastic about Spider-Man 2099. Some of the book was good to read, you know, the previous iteration pre-Secret Wars. I liked, God, I can't remember his name now. What was his name?
Miguel O'Hara.
The lead character?
Yeah, Miguel.
Help me out here. Miguel O'Hara, thank you. It was nice to see Miguel O'Hara in the present-day 616 and interacting with people who would possibly be changing his future. And I kind of like that, you know, like a hero out of time thing. But, you know, now it seems like he's back in the future in 2099, and maybe that will just let Peter David kind of run with some of the stories he always wanted to tell in the future.
Yeah, I'll be skipping it.
Like I said, academic purposes.
I need a different artist on it, I think.
Academic purposes. All righty.
And here we have our team Spider-Man book for the line. Web Warriors number one, borrowing the name from the arc on Ultimate Spider-Man animated series, from the writer Mike Costa, who is right now currently writing Spider-Verse, which for Secret Wars, which this spins out of more than likely. Mm-hmm. The former Nova artist David Baldion and Julian Totino Tedesco as cover artists, with the tagline "Defending the Spider-Verse." So this is a way we get Gwen Stacy, Spider-Girl, into another book.
Yeah, yeah. And we still see, I forget what Anya Corazon's character's name is, but we still see a lot of the characters from Spider-Verse crossover. So obviously some of the other universes are still intact. You know, some of the other alternate universes are still intact, not just Spider-Gwen's universe.
Yeah, so I guess that raises a bunch of questions on, I thought maybe it was a wrong assumption that Secret Wars would eliminate a bunch of the different alternate realities and universes out there.
Right.
Perhaps not.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I don't think I'll be picking this up, but, you know, I'll be reading it for academic purposes just to see how they treat the multiverse in the Marvel Universe now. And yeah, I still love reading about Spider-Gwen. So I've got Daredevil number one with a hotly anticipated switch to a new writer. The new writer I'm speaking of is Charles Soule Esquire, practicing attorney. And I think we've all been waiting to see Charles Soule Esquire take over writing duties on Daredevil. And interestingly, the artist for this book is returning to the Marvel fold after, you know, some appearances here and there, namely Ron Garney. And the tagline for the book is The Devil's Apprentice. Now, Tim is showing the image that's in the preview book. And the interview or the column that Axel Alonso does for CBR, he basically says that the person carrying the bow staff with the head sock and the floppy brown hair is not Gambit.
What if it's his mentor Stick?
It could very well
be. Or Stick's like son or something.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Who happens to have a head sock.
Might have seduced it already.
Right, exactly. Who happens to have a head sock, carries a bow staff, and has floppy brown hair. You know, could you come up with a better character design so we're not thinking it's Gambit, you know? But yeah, I thought that was pretty funny that he came out and said who it is. Who it's not, actually. Yeah. I am looking forward to this. I will be picking this up. I want to see Soule's take on Daredevil. The art, listen, Garney, if Garney's got a good inker, he can produce some really dynamic art, but if it's just his pencils and maybe they're going straight to digital color, it may look to be a little too rough sometimes. That's my experience with his art, but I'm looking forward to this because I think Soule's going to be telling some really good stories.
I haven't really read much Daredevil, but I'm a Charles Soule fan and I love the Netflix series, so I will be reading this. Axel Alonso did say in his CBR interview today that they're going to go a more noir route. Noir,
yeah.
So keep that in mind. All right. Next up, another returning creative team.
Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy number one from Brian Michael Bendis and Valerio Schiti.
Skeety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the raccoons in charge.
That is the tagline. And I think what they're implying is that there's some I guess Star-Lord's kind of playing hooky.
Yes, because there's a woman wearing Star-Lord mask and guns. Probably Kitty Pryde.
Probably. And there is a brand spanking new member of the Guardians, namely sweet Aunt Petunia's favorite nephew, blue-eyed, ever-loving thing, Benjamin J. Grimm.
I will say one thing. You wouldn't want to get into a bar fight with this gang.
No. It's if you didn't think that they had enough hand-to-hand combatants for a spacefaring group, they definitely have a bunch now.
Yeah. All right.
I was about to say, strangely missing is Gamora.
Yes. Who will probably have her solo book announced yet again at San Diego Comic-Con this week.
Right.
It was announced the first time at last year's Comic-Con.
Righto. Yeah. All right. So is it my turn?
It's your turn. I was about to steal your...
Oh, wait. If you want to steal it, because this is an interesting book. We have Drax number one. Co-written by CM Punk and Cullen Bunn, and art by Ed McGuinness on covers. It doesn't seem to say who the interior artist is. Might be a rotating team. And the tagline for this series is "The Best in the Galaxy." And my understanding is, and this is also taken from the cover. Apparently, Drax is on a tour of mixed martial arts, you know, fight rings or whatnot in the galaxy. And that's going to be the basis for the solo book, or at least the first arc.
Yeah. I'm to this.
I'm curious. I didn't get much of, I didn't really get a feel for CM Punk's writing style with the Thor annual story that he did, you know?
Yes.
But I think the first issue is going to be very telltale. It's going to be it's going to make how this book is going to go very evident, and I think it's very smart of Marvel to have him team up with a seasoned writer in Cullen Bunn so that the book can, you know, not, you know, crash and burn after the first issue. All right, you're up. I love this imagery, by the way.
It's Howard the Duck number one. Yes, again. I wonder if that's the actual title of the book.
No, but that's pretty funny if it would be.
From the same creative team of Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones.
Yeah, Zdarsky, I think it is.
Zdarsky?
Yeah.
Okay. And tagline, Howard gets a new hat.
Well, considering that they didn't really have a chance to do much before they had to reboot it, I think this is definitely a tongue-in-cheek, reboot. You know, they're basically going to maybe do a very reader-friendly first issue, and then kind of jump back into what they were doing. Oh, I'm glad I get the next one. I wanted to talk about this. I'm very glad that you proposed to do a Treasury edition to talk about all new, all different Marvel, because I did not have a chance to talk about this last night. They are relaunching Nova with a Nova number one, written by Sean Ryan, art by Corey Smith, and covers by Umberto Ramos. The tagline on this is "The Family Business." Now, that implies that Sam Alexander is still the young Nova, and that is evident in the image. We have a black-helmeted young Nova, presumably being Sam Alexander, but we have an adult-looking Nova flying just beside him or just right above him, who's wearing the classic Nova Corps uniform and wearing a classic Nova Corps helmet. Now, by calling this The Family Business, I thought of two things. One, that's his father, and they're restarting the Nova Corps. He finally did find his father in the Nova series before Secret Wars, and now they're restarting the Nova Corps. Or two, is that possibly another member of the Nova Corps who is supposed to be dead? And apparently they may retcon in a familial relationship a la Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch. I wonder.
Like a mentor relationship, you mean?
No, a family relationship.
Oh, is that what they did with Ketch and Blaze?
And Johnny Blaze, yeah. They actually made them distant relatives.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, because Sam Alexander took his father's helmet, which was the black helmet.
Exactly.
So unless they found like another Nova regular gold helmet.
Right.
But yeah, maybe hopefully they bring Nova back.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the writer Nova back.
Exactly. I mean, I thought that they tried to do, you know, that Bendis tried to tell like the definitive Richard Rider's dead, but if we remember that story, you know, they left the door open. So we'll see how this goes. But you know, my gut says that that's his father, and that they found a Nova helmet for him to use.
Right.
So that'll be.
That's what I'm thinking.
You get a fun story to talk about, a fun book to talk about now.
Yes, and I have the updated creative team in my cover art, but they lose the legendary adjective, so it's just Star-Lord number one from Sam Humphries, Javier Garon as the artist, interior artist, and Dave Johnson cover art. Feels like the first time, feels like the very first time.
It is a song. I think it's Journey. Feels like the first time.
It's one of the songs you hear in commercials.
Yeah.
Like Chevrolet truck or something.
It's classic rock. So the image has Peter Quill in a Star-Lord helmet in what appears to be a United States, you know, a NASA space uniform, space suit.
Yes.
I wonder how that's going to play.
Yeah. Nothing. No other real thoughts on the book. Unless.
I mean, Roddy Cat in the chat was just telling us, you know, Roddy Cat, who couldn't be with us tonight but is still chatting along with us, basically said, well, presumably Peter Quill is off leading the Spartax, but I wonder how this is going to play into that bit of continuity, how this title.
Maybe whatever's going on in his solo book adventures will explain why he's not in Guardians.
Yeah, possibly.
Just wait until they start retconning who his real father is to match the movies.
To match the movies, yeah. If they're not going to make him Jason of Spartax, right?
Right.
All righty. So, next. Oh, I had to get one of the books I don't want to talk about.
I'm actually kind of interested in this.
Really?
What a creative team.
Yeah.
And I'm a Venom fan.
Yeah. Venom, Space Knight, number one. They have to just completely screw with the fans who want to see Rom Space Knight come back. The book is written by Robbie Thompson and art by Ariel Olivetti, so at least the painted art is going to look nice. The tagline is, sometimes a hero needs a little space. So basically, Venom is going to be running around. You know, this is going to be Venom's adventures in space when he's not with the Guardians.
And that's about it.
But you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, just because, I mean, they went through the whole process of giving him a new
purpose,
making him a space character, having them find the planet of the symbiotes, and getting a new costume out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, let's see what they do with it. And I like Robbie Thompson's Silk, so
okay.
The second book, he's just not hanging around, you know, doing TV and comics on the side. He's double dipping.
Right. Yeah, I just wish they wouldn't call it Venom Space Knight, but they obviously want to invoke the name, you know, the title.
Yeah.
All righty.
Is it my go?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we get friend of the podcast here.
Yes, shout out.
Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one. Like I said, friend of the podcast, Frank Barbary and Brent Schoonover.
Yeah.
To fight the monsters of the world, we need the monsters of the night. Normally, I wouldn't pay attention to this, but like we said, Frank Barbary's on it. And I was a fan of the Teenage Abomination in the Superior Spider-Man run. And we see
Spirit Iron Man.
So we see he is one of the stars of the book.
Yeah, I'm glad Dum-Dum Duggan. Yes. I was about to say, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Did you say the tagline already?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm glad that you mentioned the Kid Abomination. I didn't notice this when I saw the preview art that was leaked, but when I finally looked at this close-up in print, and I see that Dum-Dum doesn't look very monstrified or dead or undead as opposed to all the other characters on the cover, I wonder if that's not just another Dum-Dum LMD. But it's kind of cool that Dum-Dum is back. So,
yeah, after they killed him.
And is that Hit Monkey? I think that is Hit Monkey, right?
I don't even know who Hit Monkey is. So.
He's got a gun. It's the monkey that's on Man Thing.
Yeah, I know. I see the monkey.
He's got a gun. I think that's Hit Monkey. That's pretty funny.
Who's the big dude running in the background?
No idea.
Okay.
No, probably a monster from Monster Island. I don't know who that is.
Here's a book I'm not caring about at all.
That's too bad. It's too bad that you don't care about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one, written by the showrunner for many DC shows, Mark Guggenheim, with art by Mike Norton. The tagline is, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I am an unabashed fan of Agent Phil Coulson. So I am always going to be reading about his exploits in the Marvel Universe proper. So I'm happy to see, you know, these characters get some play in the Marvel Universe. It looks like they're dealing with Hydra, you know, similar to, you know, what they're doing on the TV show. I like this book. I'm a fan.
Okay.
Well, you got a cool book here.
Yeah, we'll see. Switch over. All right, Uncanny Inhumans number one, which I guess will be the new flagship book for Inhumans, unless we get another announcement next week.
We may very well.
From Charles Soule and Steve McNiven, The Silence is Broken. So the big revelations here are we'll get two new cast members for the Inhumans, Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, and Beast from the X-Men.
Right. Apparently something happens in the 8 months that causes these two particular characters to defect from their normal teams and join up with the Inhumans. So I think, you know, that's a pretty interesting take. Well, remember, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Johnny Storm has a very long history with the Inhumans based off of a relationship that he had with Crystal.
Right.
So he's not unfamiliar to the Inhumans. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that they would pull Hank McCoy, you know, the current Hank McCoy, the beast, the furry beast Hank McCoy into this book. You know, that bears some watching.
Okay.
All right. I've got an interesting pull now, talking about Karnak number one, written by Warren Ellis, art by Gerardo Zaffino, and cover art by the great David Aja. The tagline is "the flaw in all things," and that is Karnak's superpower, that he sees the flaw in all things. And it's interesting that, you know, this is the book that Warren Ellis decided to pitch Marvel, and this is what they're giving him to write. And I wonder if people are going to give what's admittedly like a fourth-tier Marvel character enough of a run to let Ellis tell the story that is probably going to be pretty good. That's my guess, because Karnak is a pretty interesting, you know, he's got a interesting skill set, and in the right hands, a good story is definitely in the, you know, there to be told.
I like the cover.
Yes, the cover I think is enough to make me pick up the first issue just based on that.
I need to do maybe after the show I'll do a Google search of the artist and see what I can expect from him, because I've never heard of him before.
Same. It's a good idea.
All right. Another case of the magazine and the preview art saying totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine says Angela Asgard's Assassin number one, but the preview art or the preview image sent out to people says Angela Queen of Hell number one.
I think this one is probably more accurate.
The last one, Queen of Hell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The latter one, because I think that's what the story is implying.
So it's from some of the same creative team from Angela Asgard's Assassin number one. Margaret Bennett as the solo writer this time, with Kim Jacinto replacing Phil Jimenez, and Stephanie Hahn still on board, with covers by Julian Totino Tedesco.
Yep. The cover's pretty.
Yeah, it is. Hell hath a new fury.
Right, and that's why I'm inclined to believe that the tagline or the retitling that's on the updated cover image is probably what's accurate.
I probably won't. I tried giving the first series a try, but I kind of just fell off of it.
Yeah, I couldn't keep up with it either. It's kind of a shame. All right. Ooh, get some fun here. Squadron Supreme number one, written by James Robinson, art by Leonard Kirk, and cover art by Alex Ross. This is the same creative team that was on the Invaders, all new Invaders. And the tagline is "Sole survivors of their own worlds, they'll do anything to protect this one." We've talked about this book on the Comic Book Chronicles before. Our understanding so far, obviously Secret Wars is not finished yet, but our understanding so far is that this group of Squadron members are plucked from different realities, so they're not from the same reality, not from the same world, so part of it is going to be them getting how they get along with each other, and that they remember their old teammates, they remember their old realities, and how that's going to play into how they react on the current, I guess I still want to call it the 616 Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Definitely kind of curious to see how this play out.
Yeah, definitely. I want to give this a shot.
Not familiar or really care about any of the characters, but the premise leads me to want to give it a try.
Sure.
Oh, I get the book. One of the books I'm looking forward to next. Yeah, X-Men, baby.
There you go.
Get my picture up here. There we go. It's Extraordinary X-Men number one.
They finally found a new adjective for it, right?
That had never been used before.
Exactly.
So it's from the new head architect of the X-Men line, Jeff Lemire, and Humberto Ramos, coming over from Amazing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And it reads, "Still hated, still feared, still standing." And I like the roster that they put together. It's kind of like sort of classic X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
I said online earlier, you know, it's kind of kind of a classic roster minus Cyclops.
Yeah.
You got Storm, you got Wolverine, you got a Jean Grey, Iceman, Nightcrawler. I guess you're missing Beast, maybe. Mm-hmm. I guess you kind of almost want to put like all the original X-Men on there.
Right.
Team. But I like it. And it's, you know, them in the middle of a Terrigen Mist.
Ah, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, someone had to point that out to me online as well.
I did not pick up on that. Interesting.
So we know that they'll be dealing with that and the Inhumans once the all new, all different universe starts up.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And supposedly there's going to be like a nice relationship going between young Jean Grey and old man Logan.
It'll probably be
the same type of Logan relationship where he takes the youngest under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's the young version of a character he had feelings for.
Right.
It's fun. Storm's keeping the mohawk. Jean Grey. Everyone's got new costumes, apparently.
Right. I'm kind of curious to see what version of Colossus that is.
Oh, you think it might be one from another reality, perhaps?
Well, the one from Inferno.
Oh, yeah. He had like
a beard.
He had a beard. Is that a beard on him?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. I guess if we could see his arm, because he had like a messed up arm.
Right, it's obscured. It's obscured. That would be the giveaway.
Okay.
All right. Why do I get the one that has Greg Land on art? always. Where's the sad? So, I have the unfortunate luck of pulling Uncanny X-Men number one. Now, I said this on last night's show, the most recent Comic Book Chronicles. I have an uninterrupted run of Uncanny X-Men from just before the Dark Phoenix saga all the way till now. And I'm definitely considering putting an end to my uninterrupted run of Uncanny X-Men because of the new premise of Uncanny X-Men written by Cullen Bunn with art by the aforementioned, and unfortunately, it's Greg Land. The tagline is, bigger threats require more threatening X-Men. Ay, ay, ay. The characters on the roster, this team so far revealed in the preview image are Magneto, Sabretooth, Phantom X, Mystique, and Psylocke. It's a rejiggered X-Force. I'm really not keen on this. Put Greg Land on this, and I do not want to pick this up. This may very well mark the end of my continuing run of Uncanny X-Men. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm tired of Phantom X. He came around to prominence, or at least he was first, I guess, created and debuted back when I wasn't reading.
Yeah, Morrison
comics.
Yeah.
So I mean, I liked them in Remender's X Force or Uncanny X Force.
Mm-hmm. Well, he really gave him some. He gave him some purpose because of the whole Apocalypse Kid.
Right.
You know, gave him some purpose with that, but you know, once they made him go bad again in the most recent runs of X-Force, I lost any interest in the character.
I'm tired of him and Psylocke, because kind of like they're the new Rogue and Gambit.
They tried to make that.
Get on with it already.
Yeah, that's funny. All right.
Another one I'm looking forward to. Let me switch over here, just because I'm glad to see Dennis Hopeless get more shine and more high-profile projects.
Mm-hmm.
We have the relaunch of All New X-Men Number One from Dennis Hopeless and Mark Bagley, how do you say it?
I think it's Bagley.
On a mission to make their own future. And I guess at some point I said to myself, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the original X-Men from the past survived into the new world,
mm-hmm.
just because of how popular they were. And they would not have resolved them not being taken back unless it would have happened in the Uncanny X-Men 600 that isn't due out till after Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
However that works.
Craziness.
But the same members minus Jean Grey.
Right.
And we still have the Black Vortex Angel.
Yeah.
The same with Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
All right.
I love how they're keeping Black Vortex alive.
Yeah, some stuff still carrying over.
Yeah. Ooh, I get Old Man Logan number one, written by Jeff Lemire, with art by Andrea Sorrentino. The tagline is older, wiser, sharper. That's a great tagline. Got to give him credit for that.
And it's the same creative team from Green Lantern. So that's an added bonus.
Right, right. And the same creative team from the current Secret Wars Old Man Logan limited series.
Well, but the same artist, at least, because Bendis.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because it's Bendis writing it. My bad. My bad. So, I mean, yeah, this is something to look forward to. It's kind of nice to see Wolverine back in the regular Marvel U. And they did it without – they brought Wolverine back without bringing him back to life. So it's kind of funny like that.
Yeah. I wonder how that'll be if they'll even reference or get back to the Bat one.
Right.
Speaking of
Wolverine.
Yeah. So we have all new Wolverine number one. So I guess whoever the last person standing in the Wolverine's weekly.
Right.
We have the second book from the Superior Iron Man art writer, Tom Taylor. And David Lopez,
mm-hmm.
Best there is at what she does. And this is the only, well, second, because I guess Howard the Duck had caption word balloons on his cover.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to tangle with someone, why not try your luck against the new Wolverine?
Yeah, this is
Wolverined up with her blue and gold outfit.
Yeah, this is a callback to the first appearance of Wolverine, actually at the end of Incredible Hulk number 180. And the first page of Incredible Hulk 181. So that's where this image is a direct callback to that. So are you going to give X-23 a chance to be the new Wolverine?
Sure.
All right.
Simple answer.
I mean, that's cool. That's cool. I don't, you know, like I've always had problems keeping up with the Wolverine solo title, so I don't know if I'm going to be that interested in it. But I'll give it a shot.
Okay. I was never like the biggest Wolverine reader anyway.
Of the solo title?
Yeah. I only start reading it like once I start reviewing books for the site and whatnot.
Sure. Sure. I got you. I mean, I kept up with it. I surprisingly have a lot of Wolverine solo comics in my collection. Okay. A lot of it is from stuff that I inherited from somebody. Somebody actually gave me a lot of their collection, included a very long and uninterrupted run of Wolverine comics. So, I kind of found myself with these books. So, I don't have the best track record keeping up with the solo Wolverine books. We'll see if I can keep up with this one or if it makes me keep up with it. So finally, I guess I get to bring up the last book of the 45 that have been announced so far in all new, all different Marvel. And it's Deadpool number one with a returning writer of Jerry Duggan. Artist Mike Hawthorne, and cover art by the returning Tony Moore. The tagline for this series is, more Deadpool than you wanted. I give Jerry Duggan all the credit in the world for making Deadpool just a funny read for the most part. Yes, Deadpool was just killed off. Yes, we're going to find out what the hell's going on, probably in the first issue. But listen, there's Deadpool fans out there. They have to at least try to capitalize on some of the press that the Deadpool movie is garnering. So why not have a brand new Deadpool series starting in the all new, all different Marvel?
And I've never read much of Deadpool, so this means nothing to me.
I gotcha.
All right. I guess that's about it. I guess at the back they give some previews of books to pay attention to in Secret Wars.
Right. Some of the stuff that's coming up, which is which hasn't dropped yet, which is 1872. That's where Red Wolf is going to be center stage.
A-Force, Weird World.
Right.
Old Man Logan, Squadron Sinister, Future Imperfect.
Yeah, I jumped straight to 1872.
Spider-Verse, Star-Lord, and Kitty Pryde, which is interesting.
Right, that hasn't come up. That hasn't dropped yet.
Deadpool, Mrs. Deadpool, and the Howling
Commander. Right, that hasn't dropped yet either. So
last.
Yeah.
And before I forget, let me go over the feedback we got for the show. At MattWang97 said to have fun and discuss the Ultimates and Squadron Supreme, which we did.
Yep.
At KatMar77 says, I'm interested in X-23 as the new Wolverine. Also, I'd like to check out A-Force and Illuminati. Even how the Duck sounds cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm interested in X-23 as Wolverine. A-Force, I'm liking the Secret Wars book. And Illuminati, I gave a lot of praise to that and what the creative team can possibly do with it, mm-hmm. especially if it, you know, kind of is similar to Red Skull number one.
Right.
Howard the Duck, I read the first issue of Howard and I got to like halfway of the second and kind of just stopped. It was kind of weird. Like some of the humor Marvel books, I don't really give too much of a chance besides like Superior Foes. But like the offhand stuff like Squirrel Girl and Howard the Duck and Deadpool, I'm kind of just like, eh. I got you. I'm not sure why it is. I don't mind humor in like some of my off big two books, mm-hmm. but I guess maybe I care a little too much in my Marvel stuff.
I gotcha. All right. Well, we've made our way through all of the 45 all different previews that dropped from Marvel this week, and we're sure to be discussing more of the all new, all different titles that are announced at San Diego Comic-Con this week, or this coming week.
Yep. So we definitely thank the feedback from everyone.
Yes, thank you.
And make sure to follow us. Oh, yeah. Wow. And make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Shout out to our co-hosts who aren't here tonight at PCN_Dirt on Twitter. Go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And with that, we'll be back next week for our regular episode of Comic Book Chronicles. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!